Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where we will be discussing this question today. Can anybody be saved? Now, let me clarify the question. The context of which this question comes from is, can anybody be saved, i.e., are there certain sins that God says, you know what, I can't save a person from that? Is there a certain background that somebody has? Maybe they've been vicious killers, or they have been unethical swindlers, and they've done it for a while, doing it, knowing they were doing it, and not caring they were doing it. Are these type of people that God simply just won't save? Or can anybody, by the grace of God, can anybody be saved? Well, today I'm alone on the panel with you, the listening audience, and I'm kind of excited about this question because as I thought about it, I mean, there are numerous examples in the Bible where we see people with a very checkered past, and we see the grace of God extending to them, saving them, changing them, and in fact, using them to bring glory to God. And, I picked two particular people. I picked actually two apostles. I picked one by the name of Matthew, and I picked another one by the name of Paul. And both of these men had very, very checkered past before the grace of Christ came and saved them. For instance, Matthew. Those of you know, Matthew in his former life, he was called Levi, and he was a tax collector. Now, maybe on the surface, you say, well, that's not such a bad deal. Okay, he collected taxes. Maybe he took a little bit of extra money, whatever. But he wasn't so bad that he couldn't be saved by Christ. Well, let me give you a little background here on tax collectors during the time of Jesus. Now, as you know, Israel, during the time of Jesus, was really under Roman rule, Roman occupation. And there were many times when Rome just used very, very oppressive measures when it came to the various different people groups or nations that they had control of, including the Jews. And one of the most oppressive tactics that Rome used against, you know, the people that they were overseeing was heavy, heavy taxation. For instance, the Roman Senate, as well as certain wealthy aristocrats, they were given the opportunity to actually go to an auction where they had the opportunity to win for 5 years the prize of being able to control taxes from the various people groups that Rome was overseeing. So, somebody in the Roman Senate, or maybe a wealthy aristocrat, let's say this person won that 5-year opportunity. And now they come to Israel and say, okay, I have an opportunity for 5 years to get as much as I can from these Jews in terms of taxes. Yes, I've got to send a portion of it to the, you know, higher ups there in Rome, but I get to keep a lot of the extra and put it in my own pocket. What a great business deal. So you could see why people in the Roman Senate, wealthy aristocrats, wanted to go to these auctions, wanted to be able to win this opportunity, because for 5 years, they got to control taxation over the Jews. And they got to make a lot of money. Well, that's what was happening in Israel during the time of Jesus. In fact, it was somewhere around 30 AD that Rome really had a financial problem. and they really went hot and heavy when it came to taxation on Israel. Now, those who won this auction, someone from the Roman Senate or wealthy aristocrats, they were called the publicani. They're the ones that had the five-year deal to do whatever they wanted with taxes. They, in turn, the publicani, in turn, hired certain people from within the nation they were taxing. Again, let's use the example of Israel. A wealthy publicani who had the five-year exclusive right of taxation would hire somebody within the nation of Israel called a publican to basically do the dirty work for the Roman. And the Jewish publican would exact taxes from his own countrymen. He obviously would want to make a little extra money on the side, so he would charge extra, gouging his own people. And he would send the rest to the publicani in Rome, who had the five-year exclusive. They then would pad their pockets and send the rest to the higher up in Rome. Rome was happy. The publicani were happy. The publicans were happy. And the people were miserable. Now, this gets even better. Of the publicans there in Israel, there were two types. You had the chief publican who worked behind the scenes. He organized all the other publicans to make sure that they were doing their job in gouging the Jews. An example of a chief publican in the Bible would be Zacchaeus in Luke 19. He was a chief tax collector, a chief publican. He made a ton of money. But there were other publicans, not ones who worked behind the scene, but rather those who worked out in the open in front of their fellow Jews. They're the ones that sat at tax collector booths out in the open. They're the ones who gouged their own countrymen right there in the open. They, in turn, would fill their pockets, send the rest of the money to the chief publicans, who in turn would fill their pockets. The chief publicans would then send the money to the publicani in Rome. They would pad their pockets, and the publicani would then send it to the higher up in Rome. Do you see the system? Do you see how much money was being gouged from the Jewish people? And by the way, which of the two publicans do you think was most hated? The chief publican who worked behind the scenes, or the normal publican who answered to the chief publican, the normal publican who worked directly in front of the people and gouged them right in front of their faces? Which one do you think was most hated? Correct. The one who was right out there in the open. Well, guess which one Matthew was? Chapter 9, verse 9, we read, as Jesus went on from there, I'm in Matthew, by the way, his gospel, he describes his salvation experience. Matthew 9, verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Matthew wasn't a chief publican working behind the scenes, organizing everything, getting the money. Matthew sat out in the open at the tax collector's booth, gouging his fellow countrymen right to their face, right in front of their face. And therefore, Matthew was hated by his fellow countrymen. Not only because he gouged his own people, not only because he lined his own pockets by gouging his own people, but also because he worked for Rome, the hated people who oppressed the Jews. And one day Jesus shows up at Matthew's tax collecting booth, and he said two words to Matthew, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed Jesus. In fact, Luke tells us Matthew left everything behind and followed Jesus. This hated tax collector was saved by the grace of Jesus. This hated thief who was killing God's people through this taxation, who was a traitor and turncoat against God's people working for the hated Romans, still was saved by the grace of Jesus. Can anybody be saved? No matter how bad their background? Oh, yes. In fact, we know that Matthew understood the grace of salvation because we read that right after Matthew started following Jesus in verse 10, he invited Jesus over to his house for dinner. And we're told that while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. You see, there was a group of really, really hated sinners there in Israel. The tax collectors, which I already explained to you, you understand why. You had the prostitutes. You had the riffraff, the lowlifes, the really sinful people that kind of just all congregated together because they were considered outcasts by all the other Jews. Well, these are the type of people that Matthew invited to his house to hang out with Jesus, his Savior. And why did Matthew want these people to hang out with Jesus and the other disciples? So that they too could receive the free gift of saving grace through Jesus the Savior. And we know through the scriptures, we see that many tax collectors and prostitutes and other so-called irreligious people were saved by the grace of Jesus. Can anybody be saved? Absolutely. Regardless of their past, absolutely. No matter how bad their past was, absolutely. The grace of God, his arm is never too short to save. But look at the response of the Pharisees when they saw this. When the Pharisees in verse 11 saw this, that Jesus was actually hanging out with tax collectors and other so-called riffraff, they asked Jesus' disciples, well, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors? Now you understand why they were asking that, and other sinners. On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, those who think they're righteous and don't need the grace of God. He said, rather, I came to call the sinners, of which Matthew understood he was a big time sinner. And it's very interesting that Matthew, this hated tax collector, became a humble apostle of Christ. Can anybody be saved? Oh, yes. Just ask Matthew. We'll look at the other example when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics as we are discussing this question. Can anybody be saved? In other words, can anybody, regardless of their background, regardless of how heinous and sinful their background was, can anybody be saved by the grace and mercy of Jesus? Now, again, in the context of this question, there are some people who really think that, well, there are just certain sins that there's just no way Jesus is going to forgive, and that person no way is going to be saved. For instance, if somebody is a long-time thief, extortionist, just rip-off artist, not caring how much he or she makes and not caring who he or she has to hurt on it, well, those people can't be saved. Well, as we saw on the first part of this program, that's not true, because we saw an example of Matthew, the hated tax collector, who became a humble apostle of Christ, saved by the grace of Christ, experienced the mercy of Christ, and became an apostle of Christ, all for the glory of Christ. So we see that no matter how bad Matthew's background was, and it was very bad in that financial sector of being a tax collector, ripping off his own people and working for the hated Romans. Yeah, Matthew had a very bad past. Yet, when Jesus said, follow me, Matthew couldn't resist because the grace of God showed up at that tax collector's booth and took this man from a hated tax collector and made him a follower of Christ, saved by Christ, and a humble apostle. But what about murder? What about somebody who is just bent on violence, bent on destruction, and doesn't really care who or he or she has to hurt? Can that person be saved? Well, we don't have to really go any further. Let's just look at another example of another apostle. You guys heard of a guy named Paul, right? Apostle Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles. Well, do you know who the apostle Paul used to be before he was saved by the grace of Christ? He was Saul. He was a raging bull bent on not just persecuting the church of Christ, but destroying it. How do I know that? Well, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul gives his autobiography to the Christians there in Galatia. And he says in chapter 1 of verse 13, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how I intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. And it's very interesting in the Greek, as Paul describes, gives us this picture of how he intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Well, we get a picture of that as we combine this verse with Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And the picture we get in the Greek is that Paul was like a raging, snorting bull as he was intensely persecuting and destroying the church of Christ. Who was the apostle Paul before he became the apostle Paul? He was the raging bull Saul, snorting his way, doing whatever he could do to stop Christianity. Can anybody be saved? Well, Paul, who used to be Saul, think about him. He arrested Christians. He voted on them to be put to death. Think about the first martyr, Stephen. Saul was the one who cast his vote to have Stephen killed, stoned to death. As you read the story of Saul in Acts, you see how he not only arrested Christians, not only cast his vote to put him to death, he even got women, children. He was doing all he even went to foreign cities. He was on the road to Damascus, looking to persecute and destroy Christians in Damascus until Jesus, by his grace, showed up on that road and said, let's make a major change. The raging bull Saul became a follower of Christ, Paul, who eventually became the apostle Paul, apostle to the Gentiles for the glory of Christ. How does that happen? Can anybody be saved? Absolutely. In fact, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But watch this. Not only was Saul a raging bull before he became the Apostle Paul, in Galatians 1:14, he also describes how well he was doing at it. He said, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. And what he's saying there in the Greek when he said I was advancing in Judaism, the Greek actually phrase is he was chopping ahead. That's what it means. So we see the picture of this raging bull Saul persecuting and trying to destroy Christians, men, women, and children, even in foreign cities. And he said he was doing so well at it. He was advancing far beyond his own contemporaries. He was a superstar, Raging Bull Saul, chopping ahead and chopping down Christians left and right. Can anybody be saved? Come on. If you really think about it, if we saw somebody doing that today against Christianity, we would call them a terrorist. Guess who the Apostle Paul was before he became the Apostle Paul? He was a raging bull, terrorist, against Christ and Christianity, and he was chopping ahead, advancing beyond everybody. He was a superstar in his opposition to Christ and Christianity. And not only that, he goes on to tell us, at the end of verse 14, he said, I was extremely zealous in doing this because I was following the traditions of my fathers. Extremely zealous, fanatical. He was a fanatical, raging bull, terrorist, chopping ahead, advancing beyond everybody in his persecution and desire to destroy the church of Christ. Can anybody be saved? Is there any past that is so horrific and so sinful that the grace of Christ cannot save them? Friends, ask Matthew, ask Paul. They will both say to you, man, we had brutal pasts. Matthew, he was an extortionist. He was a traitor. He was a self-centered, self-seeking, loathsome tax collector, gouging God's people, working for the Romans, and yet Jesus saved his soul. And he became an apostle. The Apostle Paul, as Saul, a raging bull, terrorist, chopping ahead, and a fanatic in his hatred towards Christ and Christianity. And yet on that road to Damascus, Jesus Christ in his grace saved him, changed him to Paul, who became the great Apostle Paul. Because as Paul says in chapter 1, verse 15, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, that's how I was saved. It was all of God's grace. It was all of God's choice. It was all of God's call. It was all of God's good pleasure. And that's why God got all the glory in Matthew's life as well as in Paul's life. Because both of these men knew who they used to be before they met the grace, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Is anybody able to be saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. Not because of their own efforts, not because of their own desires, certainly not because of their checkered backgrounds. But it's all because of God's good pleasure, God's grace, God's calling, God's choice. That choice which he predestined, made before the foundation of time. And it's very interesting how the Apostle Paul describes himself. And I love this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And many of you are familiar with this. But let's just now in this context read it. Chapter 1 verses 12 through 17. Paul, now a seasoned apostle, looking back on his former life, says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy. How? By appointing me to his service. Paul was still blown away after all these years of just the fact that he was an apostle, especially compared to who he used to be. And how do we know that? He goes on to say in verse 13, even though I once was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, he said, I was shown mercy. True, I acted in ignorance and unbelief, but it was the grace of our Lord that was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And that's why he went on to say his famous saying, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul said, I am the worst. Do you see the humility? The raging bull, Saul, the humble apostle Paul. He said, even though I am the worst of sinners, he said, for that very reason, I was shown mercy. So that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul says, you know what? I look at my past. I'm never going to forget my past. And I'm never going to take for granted the grace, mercy, love, and faith that Christ poured out on me abundantly to save me. That I now am an apostle, the apostle Paul. He says, but you know what? I'm not going to wallow in self-pity for my past because I see the purpose. That even though I am the chief sinner, he said, I've been shown mercy. So that God's unlimited patience would actually be displayed in others through Paul to hit others so that they too could be saved and have eternal life. Because they're going to go, wow, if the grace of Christ can save the raging bull Saul, the grace of Christ can save me as well. And that's why Paul goes on to say in verse 17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Can anybody be saved? Absolutely. Why? Because it's all of God's choice. It's all of God's call. It's all of God's good pleasure. And that's why, friends, God gets all the glory. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.